Okay, good morning. Happy all apparently, so we can make a start. Some of you will be aware that we've got a new dog. That's not him. Labrador. Jade sent me this on Facebook. I really do hope it doesn't come through. I did like it though. The tree is planted. I should have known that when it's a kid, really. Right, let me get going. This was found in the ladies' toilets. It's a rather netty mobile phone. And the other thing before we get going, just to say next week, we are trying to make things less chaotic. Last year, setting up, I think we did everything in 2 hours, and it was a bit a case of doing the band were trying to position themselves while we were trying to put stage blocks down. All got a bit hectic. So we are trying to stage it out through the day. We have the opportunity to do that because of the starting in the afternoon. Those of you that do manage to come at 9 o'clock, we are going to feed you some lunch, so you won't need to go home and get lunch unless you would like to, so that would be great. If you are able to help with set up, we would really appreciate that. We've had several people come forward, which has been brilliant. And we'll hopefully get it all done, and it will be a bit all less stressful than it was. So today we're going to be looking at some more about fruitfulness on the front line. Remember, we've been going through this. Carol reminded us about our front line, some life on the front line. Andy gave us a sort of overview about the whole thing about being fruitful on our front lines, and then Marion spoke about how we should model godly character. We've got these sort of 6 principles or framework that helps us with that. Last time Rosie talked about how we make good work, and in doing that we can be fruitful on the front lines. And today I'm going to look at I keep getting it wrong, it's Minister Grace and Love. So, about a month ago, we decided that it would be a good idea to decorate Tanisha's bedroom. It was one of the rooms that we hadn't decorated in the house. 3 minutes ago, there was a huge amount of black mould that grew all over the walls, and when we'd done our best to wash it all off, you could sort of still see the blackness on the wall. And so we decided we'd do that. I spoke to some of the guys on Sunday and said, is there any chance you could give us a few hours during the week and help us with painting? And Andrew Murray came forward and said, yeah, I did that, which I was hugely grateful for. And so following that Sunday, on the Friday, I arrived at Jade's just after 9 o'clock. Andrew and Donna, they both had a day off without kids. We dropped the kids off, and they were around there to do a couple of hours in the room, so we moved some furniture into the middle. I then went down to tinker with Jade's washing machine, which needed some work on it, and they got on with cleaning the walls down and beginning to paint. I think I spent half an hour on the washing machine, and then I had to go off to a meeting. Came back from the meeting, they said they'd only be there 2 hours. I came back 2.5 hours later expecting them to be gone, and they were still there. And I think they did about 3 hours on that Friday, which was a great start, and it was excellent. And I was thinking, wow, great, we've made a good start on this. And then in the Friday evening, I got a text from Andy saying, I've got some spare time tomorrow. How early can I get back into the house to do some more? And so I texted Jade and I said, any chance Andy could come around at 10 o'clock tomorrow and do some more on the room? And she, of course, said, yeah, no problem at all. So I think it was Sunday morning I then next looked at my email. It was an email from Andy. Oh, I was in Saturday morning, I was in Saturday evening. We've done so much. And I thought, wow, this is great. We're really making progress. And then Tuesday morning, I got into the office and looked at my email. There was an email from Donna. I was around at the house last night, and me and Danielle put on a coat of paint on all the walls. Wow, excellent. It's really, I'm not having to do anything. This is brilliant. And then Wednesday morning, I was in, and there was another email from Donna. I was in again last night, then I did another coat on the walls. And I think by Thursday we've painted the ceiling and the walls. By Sunday we've done all the gloss work. And so we just have the floor to paint. And so Tuesday after that, Sunday, I was around there with Andy. We moved furniture into one half of the room. We bought some floor paint, so we just paint the floorboards. It was the quickest way to get the floor sorted. And Andy said, "That's great, you've moved the furniture, off you go, I'll just do this, I can do this, it's no problem." So I left him to it. Next night I was there, we moved the furniture onto the bit that we painted, painted the rest of the floor. And then I know on the Saturday, I think Jade had already moved the furniture, but on the Saturday Richard helped Andy build a wardrobe, and Tanisha had a finished room. And it looks fantastic. It really does. It's only white walls, white ceiling, white glasswork and a black floor.
Tanisha's painted on.
Yeah, yeah,
really good as well.
Tanisha is obviously really excited about it. She's painting some silhouettes of dancers on there because she's into her dance, and it really does look fantastic. And it reminded me of a couple of things. One, remember when we used to go down Woodlands? I know Tina doesn't like this picture. But it was a while. It was a while when we used to get up on Sunday morning in summer. We used to go down one of the streets in Chippenham, and we used to do stuff in the gardens. We used to take stuff to the tips. We used to do painting and decorating. And all of that, I think, comes under how we minister grace and love. Andy and Donna, with what they did, minister grace and love to Jay, Danielle and Tanisha, and they really, you know, the fact that the room got decorated, it got done so quickly, there was the least amount of, you know, upset, and because Tanisha was having to bed down in the room with Danielle and all that kind of stuff, was fantastic. I felt a real grace and love because it really took a load off my shoulders. There were some people who were excited about doing it, they got in there, they got it done, made it happen, and I wasn't having to think, oh, can I get in and do a morning painting, or can I do this, who else have I got to ask, what else have we got to do on that? And that was fantastic. So last time Rosie was talking about in Make Good Work how where there are things we have to do, and for a lot of us that is work, but there are things in all of our lives that we have to do. By doing those in a godly way, we can show God's love and be fruitful on our front lines. But when we minister grace and love, we're talking about going beyond. We're talking about going the extra mile. Grace doesn't have to, but grace does. Grace is on the lookout for opportunities. So we're looking at the things we can do that we don't have to do when we do that. Love doesn't have to, but love does. Love is alert to the possibilities. And so that's sort of what we're looking at. During the middle of all of that, we had a Sunday, I was on setup, I had no one to help me. I put an email out around some of the guys, and almost by return I got an email back from Andy Murray saying, "Yeah, I'm free on Sunday morning, I'll come and help you with setup," which was great. And at the end of the meeting, I did say to him, I said, "I'm hugely appreciative of all that you and Donna are doing for Jade and with Tanisha's room, and the fact you're willing to help with set up," and he's obviously, I don't know if you know, but Andy's picked up doing kids work and that kind of thing as well. I was hugely appreciative, and I said, "Look, you know, just a bit worried that you're not taking on too much, and we'll see 2 months of frenetic activity and then never see anything again because you'll just be worn out." And so, you know, we're in this for the long haul. We're looking to run a marathon. We're not looking to do couple of months and then stop. And Andy said to him, "No, it's a good time for me. I've got some spare time. I'm happy to help." And again, I thought that was just fantastic. I mean, when I have spare time, I'm thinking about, you know, sitting down and watching the sport on telly and things like that. But there was, you know, Andy and Donna have got a couple of kids. They're obviously doing stuff to their own house and things. There's life is busy. It's busy this time of year with everything that's going on, and yet he had some spare time and he was willing to do that. So let's put some Bible around this. If you think back into the Old Testament, Elisha was one of the prophets. You can read all about it in 2 Kings. He used to travel around Israel doing what he did, lots of stories. But it talks about when he went to a particular town, there was a woman who was a Shunammite, and she would invite him in, give him a meal, give him somewhere to stay. And so whenever he was passing that way, or he was in that town doing whatever he was doing, he used to stay with this woman. She's married, and talks about how she convinced her husband to build an extra room onto their house, so that not only could they be hospitable to him and give him a sort of a spare bed and stuff, but yeah, she actually said the next time he visited, look, this room is for you, it's here for you to use, and it's and so she was already doing a huge amount for Elisha, but she wanted to do something extra, which was actually to give him a space that was his whenever he was visiting. So that's one example of grace and love and going beyond and going the extra mile. Obviously within Jesus' ministry, there's numerous examples. I just picked out three. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, came up back to Simon Peter's house. Simon Peter's mother-in-law was not well. Jesus didn't just say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, I hope she gets better. So she went and he healed her. He didn't just make her better, she was so much better that she immediately, it says in the passage, she immediately got up and started serving him. So she was obviously feeling fit and well. Then, he wasn't asked to heal her, he just turned up, heard about it, and got on and did it. In John chapter 5, we hear a story about a paralysed man who, I think it says for 7 years, he was taken to the temple. There was a pool there, and they believed that when the pool became agitated, the first one even got healed. And so this paralysed man had been brought every day. Unfortunately, being paralysed, whenever the pool was agitated, he wasn't the first one in. Someone else always got in before him. And Jesus is passing by, starts chatting to the guy. He says, well, you know, you can get in. And the guy says, well, I try, but I can't. And Jesus goes on to heal him. Again, it wasn't a case of the paralysed man saying, Jesus, can you come and heal me? Jesus saw it and did it. So again, grace and love. And then, of course, there's the famous incident of early in Jesus' ministry. He and the disciples are invited to a wedding, and they run out of wine. And Jesus' mother is also there. Mary's there, and she says to him, says, they've run out of wine. And he looks at her and says, why are you telling me? And yet, 2 sentences later in the Bible, in the story, which is in John chapter 2, it says Jesus is telling the servants to fill the water jars with water, and that turns into wine. And it's not any old wine, but the steward at the party actually says, wow, this is the best wine, and you saved it till last. And so it isn't just a case of just doing it, it's a case of there's something about an excellence in the best of it. The real passage I wanted to look at is the one here. This is from the end of Jesus' ministry. He talks about how at the end times all the nations will be brought before him to be judged, and how as a shepherd he will divide the people into sheep and goats, and he will turn to the sheep, the righteous, and he will tell them, well done, you've done excellent, and they will say to him, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I guess that's what it's all about. It's seeing a need and going beyond and helping and fulfilling that need. And really, the bar is set really quite low. I mean, obviously, not all of us have the time that Andrew and Donna did over the last few weeks to be there every evening painting a room like they did. But really, Jesus here is just talking about giving you a drink of water, or giving someone a drink of water. It reminded me of when we were doing the kindness cart. What we were doing, we're offering people a drink or a chocolate. Got Andy here, he's got a tray of Quality Streets, I think. And the child is probably making a big line for him, and the mother's probably trying to stop him. And just giving him the sweep. So the bar is down at sort of just a cup of water. I'm just helping, just meeting the need. I suspect all of you can remember a time when someone's come up to you and said, I really appreciate it when you did such and such for me. And probably it's, I don't know, maybe a few months or a few years after the thing happened. And it's something that you can't remember. It's gone completely out of your mind. When I was at university, there was a guy who, he was on my course. He did the course in, just went straight through, so he did it in 3 years. I had a year out, so I started university a year before him, and we ended up on doing our final years together. He was also a Christian, so we were in the Christian Union together, and we became friends. And one time, there was a group of us from the Christian Union, I guess we were in a bar, but I can't remember. Anyway, we were sat around chatting, and he said, I remember in my first year, I was in the computer centre, and you, pointing at me, he said, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know how to get started on some work I needed to do on the computer. And he said, you took the time to show me the ropes and show me how you did it and what happened and whatever. And those were the days when you didn't have a computer on your desk, and the computers were all in buildings, and you had to make a special effort to go and get them. To this day, I can't remember that incident. I only know about it because he told me that he really appreciated the help I gave him. Probably the biggest miracle was the fact I was actually in the computer centre. I wasn't renowned for doing my work at the university. The fact I was there was probably the biggest miracle. And to me, it sounded like I just did what anyone would do. There was someone, obviously, unsure of what to do, needing to get on and get some work done. And the fact she could show him, you know, whatever it was, I don't know, I switched his computer on, I showed him how to get on, get going, what to use, whatever. Where the printouts came from, because in those days you sent stuff for printing, you needed to go through rooms down in the corridor to get the printouts and all of that. I don't know, I can't remember what it was, but it touched him, affected him. To me it was just something you would do that was people would appreciate. And yet, somewhere along the line, there's some ministry of grace in there. It's a little thing for you, but it has a big impact on somebody else. Of course, if you look at the passage with the sheep and the goats, it doesn't just stop at the cup of water. You get the hang of giving people cups of water, so to speak. And then Jesus also talks about you going and visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. And we shouldn't forget, in those days, if you visited someone who was sick, there was a high chance that you would catch the illness. And you would be sick too. There was that concern and that worry. And obviously, in those days, if you visited someone in prison, you would be thought to be guilty by association. And so those were more difficult things. And even today, finding the time in our busy schedules to go to the hospital to visit someone isn't always that easy. So there is that. So, talking about how to minister in grace, minister grace and love, and we're really thinking that it's something where we're looking to go beyond, go the extra mile. We're on the lookout for possibilities. We're alert to the opportunities, and it isn't stuff that we have to do. Although it can revolve around that, you can minister grace and love in your work situation. You're doing your work in a godly way, but there are the extra things that are going beyond that you can do that. So I thought I'd get you to do something now. In groups, I don't know, twos or threes or fours, what might it mean to minister grace and love when doing the supermarket shop? Yeah. I have to say, supermarket shopping is something I avoid like a plague.
Serving people.
So for you, it's part of your making good work and going beyond.
Yes, but you know, when you get the curmudgeonly ones, you feel like Thank you very much. It's your turn and you're speaking. Here's your token. Thank you. Have a lovely day. Bye.
Take care now.
I think it was made in America.
Yes, Andy.
Doing the shop.
Yeah, I did think about that. Sue, we do a lot of our supermarket shopping online, and Sue does all of it, so maybe I ought to tangle with the computer.
Can you give me a cup of tea for Chiquita while she does the internet?
Okay. So actually at the supermarket doing the shopping, what were people thinking?
Let someone that hasn't got as much as you do before you.
Yep.
Being friendly to the person on the till.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Jim. don't take all the reduced items, it might be something you require from the new.
I'm quite good at spotting the defectors from Sainsbury's coming to Morrison, so I'll point out where they need to find them.
It's funny you should point that, because before I was sat on a till and I was able to walk around the shop with customers, because that's what you do if they can't find what they're looking for. And if I couldn't find what they were looking for, I said, go so then that's customer service. It's, you know, you're meeting them at their need. Yeah. If they don't have it,
I've had people before ask them to get stuff off high jump sport.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure you've been very handy.
I think going in with an attitude to be open to needs around you, because I always have my head down, I'm very focused on my list, and to be honest, I don't really notice other people necessarily. So I think, yeah, the start with the openness to help.
I think that in many ways is a key one, because it is very easy to think, I'm going in, I'm going to get what I want. Mm. It's a scrum, so I will use
it. The next one is not get cross when you've chosen the wrong cue.
Yep.
Everybody.
People often suddenly relax because they're fed up and killing you.
Don't leave dumps. Don't leave dumps. People do that all the time, especially the big cakes in the aisle with the soup tins, which
if you say you don't want something and you just put it at the most convenient point.
Oh, yeah,
you
put it down.
So take stuff back. Put it back where it was meant to be.
Don't leave dumps. Yep.
Thinking about people in the down the supply chain and buying fair trade and things like
that. And reduce packaging. Could be myself.
To leave it to the store?
No, I've been buying soft cheese and actually buy a block of a lot of packaging to go in. Recycle. I give a person in the queue next to me my nectar plates because I've never got right action.
Ah, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
So you're at the Sainsbury's.
Nigel would like to know when you're at Sainsbury's. Right, great. So there are some things. I'm sure you had some other ones to think about of ways we can minister greater love when we're out in the supermarket. The book about all of this went into a whole theory of queuing and how you choose the right queue and you look at the age and how quickly whether the person's going to pay by card or count the last pennies out, whether they're chatting to the till person.
That's easy. If there are women in the queue, you know, you can take it.
But if you're going to minister in Grace Life Day, you won't get across out. So that gives you something back. Right, so a lot of what we've been talking about is about look out for opportunities, being alert to possibilities, about helping people. It's all good stuff, it all affects people, it all draws them to Jesus, it shows the love of Jesus, it acts of kindness. But there are times when it will go beyond that. Andy and I were fortunate a few years ago to go to Cincinnati to a conference run by a guy called Sue Shogan. Steve was the one with his books on servant evangelism and talking about acts of kindness and things that got us into doing Woodlands and kindness carts and that sort of thing. And while we were over there, we heard an amazing story. They church were doing a giveaway of bottles of water. It's very hot in the summer in Cincinnati, so they'd find a busy intersection with traffic lights. And they'd be there with bottles of water, all chilled and in huge coolers and cool boxes with ice and all of that. And lights go red and swarm all over the cars in the queue and offer them bottles of water. And there was a lady who drove up to the set of lights, she got given a bottle of water, got a little card with it, put a card in the glove box, and went on to sip the water during the rest of the day, doing whatever she was doing. It turned out that lady the week before had been, I'm doing this at the weekend, the week before she'd been to the doctor. The doctor had diagnosed her with cancer. Following week, she was at the hospital to have further tests and to decide the course of treatment. So she turns up to that appointment. Doctor runs some more tests, and then he turns to her and he said, "What have you done that's different? Last week I tested you, you had cancer. This week I run the tests and I can't find any trace of it." I thought the machine was playing up, it's not. And it was right last week as well. "What have you done that's different?" So she went away, obviously elated, dazed, was thinking, what have I done different? The only thing she could put it down to was that bottle of water. So she dug through her glove box, she found a little card, and found the little card on one side. It said, "Have a bottle of water on us, just because Jesus loves you." On the other side, it had the phone, had the church phone number and the name of the church. So she phoned them up and she said, "What was in the water?" "Oh, I don't know. It was probably the cheapest we could find, but it was just water, a bottle of water." And, all of this has happened and I have cancer and now I don't, and the only thing I can think is this water. So, well, I suppose we did pray over it. And it turned out that as part of getting ready for a giveaway, they would pray over what they were giving away, ask God to bless the people they were going to give it to bless it and to use it for his purposes. And that day he chose to use it to heal someone with cancer. And so, you know, as we minister in grace and love, there will be opportunities when we will be prompted by the Holy Spirit and we can step out in faith and we can choose to heal somebody, pray for somebody. Or maybe God will use it in a way we couldn't even believe, like a bottle of water. And so it isn't just about making people feel good and attracting them. There's a real power and a supernatural about it as well. And that's what it's for. So we talk about how to minister in grace and love. There's also a side of it about all of it is about a spirit of generosity. Julie talked about going into the supermarket not having your head down and saying, I just want to get through this as quickly as possible. I'm there regularly. I hate shopping. But it's a case of actually going in there and thinking, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to be open to it. And in all of it, it's having a generosity and an ability to put aside what we've got in our busy lives and actually maybe take the time to get somebody a drink of water or to help somebody or to do that. There's also a case of being forgiving. We regularly get things wrong. People regularly hurt us by doing things. The boss blames you for something at work that wasn't your fault. And all of this is about choosing to forgive them and being generous with our forgiving. And also, when we get stuff wrong, being open and saying sorry about it. When I was working at Avon, I was program manager. Until how long ago it was, MG Rover were one of my customers. And we were making some new tie rods, so a bit of metal with a couple of hoops on the end, a bit of rubber in each end. And we needed to deliver these prototypes. And we'd moulded the bushes, and the engineer said, right, where are the prototypes? Oh, they're on the shelf over there. So I went to get them, and we didn't have any left. I thought we had some left over from the previous build, hadn't got any left. We needed to deliver, I don't know, a couple of days, a week, I can't remember. But it was a bit of a short lead time. So straight into our purchasing department, and I said, look, I'm really sorry. I know it's unfair to ask this, but I need these tie rods quickly. I've got a delivery to a customer. Just so happened, the tie rod manufacturer was sat next to him. So the purchasing board turned around and said, I'm sure that won't be a problem, will it?
Yeah.
And the poor supplier went, And they looked at me and he said, what's caused this? Is it a customer sudden order? And I said, no, I screwed up. I thought we had some on the shelf. I got it wrong. And I could have said, oh yeah, the customer's just rung up and they need it as a rush job and we're doing it as a favour. Could have said my engineer told me they were there and it's his fault. But I screwed up and I was open and honest about it. And I think that had a real effect. I got my tow rods and we got our delivery. But whenever I dealt with that supplier, when I became quality manager and things, there was an openness and a warmth in the dealings. So we had some difficult things to talk about now and again, but there was always an underlying that I was honest and open and he had been, and there was an effect there. So, generous and forgiving, willingness to say sorry, and a generosity in how we live. We talked about the supermarket, Judy mentioned that. I talked earlier about Andrew and Donna and with painting Tanisha's room. One of the things that was brilliant about it was they were always going, right, so are we washing this down, and are we sugar soaking this, and are we sanding this down, and what about filling these holes and things? And so often when we go into someone's house and we've got to get the paint on, there's a tendency to, let's just slap the paint on and get it done as quickly as we can. But Andrew and Donna were obviously thinking about it and wanting to do the best, and they were doing it as well as they would do it for one of their daughters, which I hugely appreciated that they wanted to do that. And so it isn't just about doing the stuff and just giving, you know, if there's someone you see and you choose to invite them around for a meal, you don't just give them any old meal. You want to do the best meal for them. And you want to help them that way. And so we need to be generous in how we live and how we do that. So I think that's all I really wanted to say. So part of fruitfulness in the front line is about ministering grace and love. And that is more than just doing, you know, making good work. It's going beyond, it's going the extra mile. Grace doesn't have to, but grace does. Grace is open to the opportunities. Love doesn't have to, but love does. Love is alert to the possibilities. And the bar is set really low. Jesus just talked about giving a glass of water. But once you've done that, don't give up at that point, or don't just kind of stay at that level. Work up. Let's go beyond. Let's go to the next thing. And who knows what God will do for it? A bottle of water can heal someone's cancer. Who knows what we could see happen? if we minister grace and love in our situations, at work, at home, outside the school gate, with our friends, with our family. Christmas, big opportunity. I don't know about you, but I find Christmas incredibly stressful at times. Family, you're rushing around here, there and everywhere, visiting everyone, always tired, kids are always fractious, you're all excited. And there are times when it all gets completely tense, doesn't it? Minister Grace and love. Great, thank you.